This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 630, Trading Mounts Faction Edition. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures, from Pops to Dorbs, Rides to Mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA.
Coming to you from the exotic land known as Canada, you're listening to another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, the commander of the Fell and master of demons, Fandeth, the still not a meat shield, Toasty, and the High Priestess of the Everlight, Allie.
But I'm not from Canada.
It's okay, we'll make it work. You're an honorary Canadian. Ahem. Bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft, this is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medros. And with me, I have Toasty. Hey, Toasty.
Hey, Medros. Happy Louis Riel Day.
Indeed. Right?
That's the day?
It is the day. In other provinces, it will be Family Day or other things. In the U.S., I believe it's President's Day. But here it is, Louis Riel Day.
Yeah.
And as I am Métis, I will celebrate it.
Manitoban hero who we, for some reason, hung for treason. But, you know, history.
Yeah, it's just a thing we do, I guess. So we have no Allie tonight. She's under the weather, but we hope that she's feeling well by the time she hears this, and that she recovers well and gets lots of rest.
Get better, Allie.
Indeed. So, what was your WoW like?
Oh, man. I actually did a lot of WoW this week. I did a whole bunch of dungeons, because that's what I felt like doing. Nothing... Like, I didn't do mythics like crazy. I did mythics this week too, because my guild actually was able to line up and we were all online at the same time. So like, yeah, let's do some mythic pluses. So we did some mythic plus, but did a whole bunch of dungeons. Did, like I said, I did mythic plus on Saturday. Did Waycrest Manor, which was a lot of fun. It was good to like hop into Discord and just do dungeons and catch up with everybody, because, you know, like, we'll see each other online and we'll say hi and we'll have some conversation while we're playing, but at the same time we're playing, paying attention to text chat is not gonna, you know, you're not gonna keep up with everything. So being able to just talk was great, and I enjoyed catching up with everybody there. Did some LFR. I tried to do both wings of LFR, only managed the one wing, and it was significantly less painful, so thanks for that. Seems like people, you know, at least in the run I was in, figured out how to, like, not be bad during the first fight. Because that first fight, from the last time I did it, was painful because tanks weren't tanking and people weren't getting out of that pulse of light or whatever and all that other stuff. So, yeah. And then I leveled up, well, I won't say leveled up because I didn't actually level up my paladin, but I played on my paladin a bit more. Just did some quests in Orion Tundra. Pretty sure I did Ding. I think I'm at 65 now on the paladin. Nothing crazy or anything. I'm nowhere near caught up to Allie, but I'm getting there. I'm probably even going to queue up a tank just to get faster queues, honestly, on the paladin. I mean, I when I played on previous iterations of paladin, I usually went prod anyway. So I feel like I won't be terrible at it. I mean, I'm still going to be rusty as hell, don't get me wrong. But I'll have a vague idea of what buttons to press. And that's what's important, right? And it's level 60. Like 60-ish, so... Yeah. I feel like I should be okay.
For me, I feel as long as you're having fun, whatever you're doing is good. Plus breaking the law, but, you know.
I just want to get through that like this hump that I seem to have come across when while I've been playing my paladin. Like every week, I'll make a couple attempts to just log in and make some progress on it, and I'll be logged on for 10-20 minutes and, you know, do a couple quests and just be like, no, I don't feel like doing this, and then switch back to the warrior. I feel like maybe if I get to leveling content like other leveling content that I enjoy, because I whenever I leveled up before, I went through Borean Tundra. I like Borean Tundra. I liked all the quests there. I never minded doing it before, but I think now, just because I've done it so much, that maybe I want to look at something else. I'm looking forward to getting to the Cataclysm content, where I can go into Vashir, because I'm one of those freaks who really likes Vashir, and, you know, get back into other leveling content that I enjoy. What else did I do? Did some more Warfronts. Got that 400 quest reward that ended up proccing Warforged, so it's 410. I got 410 legs.
Nice.
That put me at 386 item level.
Very good.
Yeah, so I'm pretty stoked about that. I think at this point, outside of just waiting to get 400 pieces from Warfronts, I'm going to have to like go back into doing Mythic Pluses and all that other stuff too, to see upgrades. And, you know, I'm okay with that. When we ran the Mythic Plus on Saturday, we were like, this is fun. We wish we had time to do it. We wish, like, we talked about establishing a regular day for us to log on and do that. Just because, you know, like, we all left the same guild, and we all came together into this new guild because we enjoyed playing with each other. Like, me, myself, and the shaman in my guild, we've been playing together since I started playing WoW in 2009. So, you know, being able to actually play with her instead of just, you know, crossing paths as we both log in and log out would be nice. So we're trying to establish a day where that works for all of us.
Is that Jess?
Oh, no, that's Anna. My friend Anna. Jess, I've only known Jess for 2-3 years.
Well, you knew her at least back when we went to Minnesota for the WoW movie, or the Warcraft movie.
Yeah, we had just met around then. We just started talking around that point. How long ago was that?
That was released in 2016.
Yeah, so about 3 years ago.
Yeah, just under 3 years.
Yeah, she had just joined our guild a couple months before that.
Cool.
But yeah, that's been my week. How has your week been?
Not too bad. I did Warfronts. Thankfully, all of my characters got an upgrade. They all got at least a 10 item level upgrade from the piece that we replaced. And I'm really looking forward to the world boss, because that'll be another level 400 piece, I believe. I believe Ibis gives I level 400 now.
If you get it.
Yeah. Well, if you get it or from a roll, it's an on-level 400 piece. So hopefully the right tunes get one of those. I did get one that procced higher. My hunter got a 4 or 5 proc. I'm not sure what that one is. I think it's just a heroic upgrade on that one. And I still have, like, 3 slots that are kind of getting to me. Like, I have a 360 ring that I'd love to see replaced, because it's the only blue item I have. I have 370 boots and a 380 weapon. I'd love to see any and all of those replaced. But I am thankful. I did get some other upgrades from other places this week, and I'm at 387 now level.
That's why you didn't respond.
I responded with cool.
Yeah, that explains that. Okay, well, I need to try harder this week. Okay. I'm going to do all the Mythic Pluses.
All right.
Maybe replace what do I have in terms of crappy year right now? I have your LFR set of gloves.
Yeah, your gloves, your waist, cloak. Your shoulder pads and your chest guard could be replaced.
Yeah.
Your cloak, definitely. I would probably aim for, your gloves and your cloak, and then, barring those are not an option or don't drop for you, I'd go after your belt, your shoulders, and your chest plate piece. As those are your, if you can get, 390, 340, to 400-ish, you're getting a decent upgrade there, so.
Yeah.
I am jealous with your rings, though. I won't lie. You got some pretty good rings.
One of them was a LFR reward.
Okay.
The other one I got this week off an emissary.
Gotcha.
Dr. Collins had the trinket or ring emissary this week.
Yeah, I got trinkets on all of my characters, and only two of them were actually upgrades, so.
Lame.
I was disappointed.
I am happy that I got that, the 410 pants.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one, because they're 410. Two, because it goes with the rest of the set that I have on, outside of the gloves.
Yeah. But yeah, other than gearing, I will be honest, I wasn't feeling super inspired to play WoW this week. I think I missed three emissaries this week. They weren't gear emissaries, so, was not a huge thing for the gearing side. But I don't generally tend to do that, since they're usually pretty easy. I also didn't hit up a lot of the invasions. I think I only did three or four invasions this week at all. I know why, and I will get back into the stream of things, but I don't know if that'll be this week, because I got a really weird week coming up. So, however, it was a decent week. I did hit 150 tailoring, so my tailor was now able to use that bag recipe that I got last week, and I was able to do that. But however, I can't actually do anything with it because I don't have any of the materials, or I don't have any of the higher end materials. The bag requires at least expulsum.
Oh yeah, so you'll need to scrap some trinkets and stuff to get that.
Yeah, it also requires hydrocore, which means I'll probably never make one.
All right, because you're gonna do dungeons for that.
Dungeons or raids, yeah. So, I'm
could do it.
I'll admit I'm a little bit sad about that, but it is what it is. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I got the recipe, and that was the key thing for me, so.
There you go.
But otherwise, yeah, my week was pretty tame. Not a lot of WoW time, and I didn't really get much progress. I have to do Waycrest Manor next for the Janna campaign, Janna quest line. Got to get something from in there. And I realized that I need to do Motherlode for something for the Dark Iron unlock. So that's another dungeon that's kind of on my radar at this point. And then I also have to do, I have a quest for Freehold as well. So those are ones that are on my radar of things I'll do if I have time, energy, and actually feel like doing stuff. So we shall see. But yeah, that was about it for my week. Nothing too exciting that I can recall, though I'm maybe forgetting something. I don't know. So let's talk about our first sponsor, I guess. Our newest sponsor is Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you've definitely seen their products. They make collectible vinyl figures from a bunch of Blizzard universes, Warcraft to Overwatch, Heroes to Diablo, and even more from outside the Blizzardverse, like Firefly, Marvel, and DC. I like to highlight a Funko Pop each week, and this week's Funko is one that is the second in a series that I have highlighted before, and I'm really excited for what's coming up in the future. But this week's is Bulbasaur.
Oh god, those eyes.
Yeah, the eyes on Funko Pops are kind of weird sometimes. There's a new trailer? Cool. I'll check that out. I only saw the original one. And that was pretty fun, so. But yeah, there's Bulbasaur. And they are doing a series, a Funko Pop a month for a year of Pikachu Funko Pops. So we'll probably talk about the first one next month, next week, and then we'll maybe slip one in every week as they go on. So I think people can probably figure out what the first one is.
Pikachu?
Well, they're all Pikachu, but it's like a monthly themed Pikachu.
So Ash for Pikachu.
Nope. For the month of March, what would you expect to be the theme?
Easter.
Easter is not always in March, though.
It isn't?
Nope, sometimes it's in April.
Oh, yeah. Spring Break Pikachu. I don't know what that's going to look like.
Okay, so there's no other days that you would expect to see in the month of March.
St. Patrick's Day Pikachu.
Yes.
Is he going to have green beer?
No, he's...
Spring Break Pikachu was a missed opportunity. I guess that's okay.
Yeah, there we go.
I still think Spring Break Pikachu would have been better. You know, Pikachu with, like, a Daytona Beach flag.
Yeah, like, it's a smaller one. It's like it's sort of like the Cuba Deadly sized.
All right.
But it's pretty cool. This is the image that they have online. So it's like a mini pop.
Okay.
And they do have the names of the different ones that are coming out, so that's one lucky day is March's.
Oh, and yeah, then... because Leprechaun.
Yeah.
Oh, it's even sitting on the little clover thing.
Yep. And then There's Rainy Day, Blooming Curiosity, Sweet Days Are Here, Sparking Up a Celebration, Splashing Away Summer, Charged Up for Game Day, Surprise Us for Fall, Completely Thankful, A Cool New Friend, Ringing in the Fun, and Surprising Weather Ahead. So, be interested to see what those look like. I'm watching with interest, because I don't know what the price is going to be, but I'm definitely interested in this line of Pikachu figures. So, but yeah, so our Funko Pop is, of course, as I said, is Bulbasaur for this month, and you can find that one online in a variety of locations. I don't know if it's on their site, but if you want to check out many other Funko Pops, go to bit.ly/FunkoATA. You can check out their online shop and use Shop10 to save 10% on your entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA and use Shop10 to save 10%. And you want to thank Funko for their support of the show.
All right. Well, so this week in WoW, we've got TBC Time Walking. That's going from February 19th to 26th. Just a reminder that also includes the Black Temple time walking. So if you feel like dragging a bunch of your friends to that, you can go ahead and do that, and then you can fight over who gets the Warglaive. And then it's also South Shore versus Terran Mill PvP event that goes from February 19th to the 26th. And then we've got the mini holiday Hatching of the Hippogriffs that's on February 23rd. Go check out some Hippogriffs. We'll relive small PvP, and then like. Get disappointed in not having a Warglaive drop.
All right, then. So, let's talk about our news, I guess.
Yeah.
So, I mentioned that I wasn't feeling overly into WoW this week, and our first topic is, I think, a big player in that. We had talked last week about the rumor of layoffs. We had mentioned that there was, in that rumor, the expression that it was likely to happen on Tuesday, right after the day after we recorded. And the numbers we'd heard were a couple hundred. And Ali pointed out that there was layoffs back in 2012 that was like 600 people, all in Blizzard. And this was going to be across all of Activision. So it wasn't a huge deal. However, I'd like to say that I disagree now. So,
yeah.
800 people, roughly. I was like, the actual number was like 770 or something, but it's 8% of their employees were let go. And it wasn't just low-level staff. It wasn't just people that are in, you know, obsolete departments or anything like that. It was pretty key people. Now, when we talk about this, I do feel like we need to talk about the massive elephant this layoff announcement rode in on. And that is record profits. So Activision Blizzard had their earnings call on Tuesday of last week. They mentioned that they had transferred their publishing rights for Destiny back to Bungie in early 2019. And they went through the whole, you know, this is what each game's doing, this is how well they're doing, how poorly they're doing. They mentioned there was declines in monthly active users in WoW post-expansion release, which was expected. They announced a 9% increase to their dividends for stockholders on the record profits and announced the layoffs. So the list of people who have been laid off has only grown. But people were being laid off as Bobby Kotick opened the earnings call with, "While our financial results of 2018 were the best in our history, we didn't realize our full potential." And then going on to state that they have made some leadership changes and are laying off staff. Among those is Yuthisons. There's other people like Zarina, who is a Hearthstone community manager. One of the people who was part of the product development team, Q Lee, she made a lot of the plushies. She is no longer there. There's a lot of people that people just don't get, that don't understand, are key people. Like, basically, they try to emphasize that they're trying to focus on what their players need and less on unimportant stuff. However, they took away a lot of the communication. For instance, both of the contacts that I had at Blizzard are in the list of people who got let go. So myself and a bunch of other people in the community no longer have a contact to talk to about issues on the Warcraft team. It feels very empty and is incredibly frustrating when you're seeing the names of people you know fall from what many have said is their dream job. While you see the numbers for 2018 that Bobby Kotick made almost $30 million, the new CFO who really changed his title in the company. He was not coming from a different company and back into the company or into the company. He was CFO before. He had gone to another position. Now he's back to CFO. And for that, he got $15 million. $15 million could have paid a lot of those people's salaries for another year. Now, if these had come in customer service, I would have understood and would have expected that almost. If you don't have any players, you don't need as much customer service. However, by eliminating people from the community management side and community relations side and the PR side, you're basically saying our community doesn't matter to us. When people no longer have a person to talk to, if they no longer have somebody representing them, if they feel like you have removed that layer of communication, it's not good. And there was at least three teams in Blizzard that lost a person from their community team, if not more than one. An Overwatch CM, a Hearthstone CM, a WoW CM, a WoW PR person, as well as other PR people, were part of the list. Now, Blizzard wasn't the only part of Activision that was hit by layoffs. Two of the offices for King, who makes Candy Crush, were also closed. So there's a lot of people on that side that are let go. I don't know if there were any people on the Call of Duty side. I don't follow those people, so I really can't speak to that. This was a significant event. This is going to be remembered. And one person I follow on Twitter made a very good point. When they announced the layoffs, they advised that these were going to be layoffs in non-development positions. I have to ask, Toasty, do you consider yourself to be part of the development team? The part that improves your company and improves the products you make?
Oh, man, you beat me to the punch there. Yes, I consider QA part of the development team.
So the fact that QA people got laid off, you would say that that is impacting development?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. So, good thing you don't work at Blizzard, because you're not in development there, apparently.
Oh, man, yeah. Wow. Couldn't believe that.
Tell me your thoughts, because I'm trying to, I'm trying to rein in my feelings about this. I'm trying to be logical and trying to apply less emotion, because this announcement is why I couldn't bring myself to play WoW much this week. So I want to know your thoughts. I want to see if my thoughts are alone in this.
Okay, so my initial thought when everything happened and when I saw the people that were losing their jobs, like, oh wow, that's a lot of recognizable people with, like, especially in our little community of, like, people who talk about WoW all the time and Blizzard games all the time and all that other stuff. These are all names that we are very familiar with. Caden and Alex and all those other people. Like, we were very much aware of also of a good chunk of the names out there that lost their jobs, and it sucked to see them losing their jobs. And from what was initially put out there on the Tuesday that this was all announced, I couldn't believe the incredible like amount of people that were laid off. They kept sticking to the 8%, and you know, we hear 8%, we're like, okay, that's not bad. But then you remember that Activision Blizzard, as per that article we looked at last week, as of the end of 2017, employed 9,800 people. So 8% is a lot of freaking people.
That is a lot of bodies.
Yeah. To report a record profits, and in practically the same breath saying we're going to lay off 8% of the staff was just, you know, it felt like it was a bit of a punch to the gut, I guess, is the best way I can think of putting it. Because you see, okay, yeah, we made a lot of money, but we know we were expecting to make this money, but we didn't make as much money as we predicted we were going to make. So, you know what? Let's roll back things a little bit. And yeah, like, I don't believe that teams lost all their CMs. I believe, like, each team, if I'm remembering correctly, all these other teams still have, you know, their own, like, another CM there. I mean, the obvious one for WoW would be Lore.
Yeah, the WoW team, but I believe, still has, unless there have been other changes I'm not aware of, Lore, Randy, and Neff, at least.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I know of on the WoW team that I believe are still on that team.
So, you know, whether or not, like, so if they decided that there was too many people in that role or whatever, or I don't like, we don't know how these decisions were made, but at the end of the day, it still sucks to see all these people who had obvious passion for what they were doing not be there anymore.
Yeah, like,
and then reading out some of the follow-up stuff that we saw come out later, or just, you know, reading the entirety of what was put out there during the earnings call, I mean, yes, we saw One thing that we saw was that roughly 8% of staff were laid off. I just want to call attention to this just so that people... You're still okay to be angry about everything that happened, but I also want people to keep this in mind. Yeah, 8% of the staff were laid off, but the development resources for some of the games, they highlighted COD, Candy Crush, Overwatch, Warcraft, Hearthstone, and Diablo. They're seeing a 20% increase in development resources. So they laid off marketing people and community people, PR people, but they're also hiring on people to do dev work. So I mean, like, there are people who are thrown into a panic mode, I guess, is the best way I can think of putting it.
Yeah, like, one of the hardest things to see were the messages of, for lack of a better way of putting it, survivor's guilt.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still here. Like, Nevelistus, Brandy, she basically tweeted out that she was still there, but she had lost members of her team.
Yeah. Yeah, you saw that from... Yeah, you saw that from Randy. You saw that from... Taren.
No, yeah. Well, Taren actually said that his team was untouched.
Yeah.
But remember, his team also includes Christy Golden.
Yeah.
Who is a fairly new employee and a high-profile employee. So I'm very glad that his team is okay, but I assume they consider that part of development. So... Of course, it's not judged because it's development, right?
Yeah, it's development. Like it's
QA. Yeah, of course. No bitterness, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, some like I was watching Zarina's Twitch stream yesterday or Saturday or one of these days, the last couple of days, and. It's very clear that it's still very much a processing. It's still very much processing, like, okay, now what? Like, what goes next?
Yeah.
What do you do after this? You know? And having Blizzard on your resume is a really good thing. Like, that's a pretty notable thing to have on your resume. However, laid off from Blizzard may not be that great of a deal. So hopefully in time we can get more information on how this will affect the company. Ali mentioned last week that one of the things that was pointed out to her by somebody who was laid off in the 2012 round of layoffs is they did great things after those layoffs. I'm going to say for me, it's going to take a lot for me to feel like these layoffs were justified. Now... Yeah. Jalen, I mentioned last week that I was very disappointed that at this point, with all of the news that had happened about the offers of early departure, with really good severance and all the other stuff, all of that being in the news, stories from Kotaku about the finance people taking more and more control over what happened at Blizzard. I was disappointed that Jalen Brack had not commented on all of this stuff. And I had said, if Jalen Brack does not comment on these issues, the layoffs, then I would see that as a definite downside, because Mike would have. Because Mike did. In 2012. Well, thankfully, at least the PR people at Blizzard are smart. They had a prepared message from Jalen Brack ready to go that released that evening. And I'm just going to kind of go through it verbatim so that we can kind of address all of the points that are made. He says, Blizzard community, over the past few months, I've met with many people throughout Blizzard. Talk about how we create our future. One thing that remains constant, we are committed to creating epic games and entertainment experiences. Our development pipeline is strong, and we have the largest lineup of games that we've ever had. At the same time, Blizzard tries to have a level of craftsmanship and excellence in all that we do. Maintaining those standards as we continue expanding those worlds takes both time and talented developers. With that in mind, we have plans to add to game development. We are dedicated to bringing you more content across existing game franchises and bring our unannounced projects to life. Esports and Overwatch League are also important priorities, and we will continue to produce great competitive content. To better support these priorities, we need to reorganize some of our non-development teams. As a result, we'll be reducing the number of non-development positions in North America and anticipating a related process in our regional offices over the coming months, subject to local requirements. This was an extremely difficult decision, and we want to acknowledge the effort of everyone who has contributed to Blizzard. To assist with the transition, we are offering each impacted employee a severance package that includes additional pay, benefits continuation, and career and recruiting support to help them find their next opportunity. These people are members of the Blizzard family. They've cared deeply and contributed greatly to our work here, and we are extremely grateful for all they've done. As difficult as some of these organizational changes are, I'm confident in Blizzard's future, and we'll continue working hard to live up to not only our mission, but your expectations. We look forward to sharing everything with you when it's ready. So there's your line about non-development teams.
Yeah. And then QA got laid off.
Apparently, QA was one of the hardest hit teams in Blizzard. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, with this announcement and knowledge gleaned from many years watching Blizzard, There's a question I want to ask you, and I want to preface it with one piece of information. BlizzCon has always lost Blizzard money. Is there a BlizzCon this year?
I think it'd be a stupid move to not have it.
Okay, I agree.
For a number of reasons. A, BlizzCon 2018 was not great. And because of the lack of games coming out in 2019, if they are truly committing to the a significant number of games being released in the next year, or in 2020 rather,
okay,
then having a BlizzCon to showcase that would be an ideal thing to happen.
Okay.
Also, Overwatch World Cup, which has become a big thing for them. Without a BlizzCon, there's not going to be somewhere for that to happen. I mean, they might still find some other way to do it. I have no doubt that they would. But Overwatch World Cup and BlizzCon seem to go hand in hand now. As does the other esports championships that they have. And it's been commented for the past few years, ever since that one break in 2012, that BlizzCon has become very much a thing where they have their big finals for esports, and them canceling BlizzCon this year in the wake of having, you know, canned HOTS esports would probably also not be a good idea. Also, it's WoW's 15th anniversary this year.
True.
And I feel like celebrating that people will want to celebrate that, and that's a great again point. It would be a bad idea for them to not do it. It would just feed into the, as Frasley says, it would feed into the WoW / Blizzard is dead stuff if they canceled BlizzCon this year.
Okay, however, I'm not sure how I can, as a player, see that canning 800 people and then holding a convention that you lose money on is a good business decision. They have a lot to make up for 2018, without a doubt. BlizzCon 2018, I wasn't there, you were. I'm confident that our feeling when we were doing our broadcast of that audience being very, very aggressive over stuff that was talked about is very real. They need to announce a Diablo 4. Or provide some indication that they're working on it, not just, we're working on things. It's coming. Just be patient. Because that's not enough.
Yeah. They need major announcements for at least one of their franchises, if not several. Although, you can't really do one for StarCraft, because StarCraft is done. Unless they decide to continue that franchise in some way.
I have no idea what level of development they have for StarCraft.
Exactly. Hearthstone will obviously see something. They always see something at BlizzCon. They haven't seen anything at BlizzCon since Hearthstone has been announced. But as we saw in that earnings call, Hearthstone is seeing decreased numbers. So how high that ranks in their thing is another thing entirely.
Yeah.
WoW would definitely see something. I don't see how it couldn't at this point, especially considering where we are in the expansion cycle. But yeah, realistically, the things that we can expect to see from BlizzCon, if they decide to have it, would be a Warcraft expansion and something for Diablo outside of Diablo Immortal. Hopefully it's Diablo 4, because that's definitely what people want. And I think if they get blocked on that 2 years in a row,
yeah,
that would be incredibly frustrating for that community.
So Frasley in our chat was making some good points. They've announced that they're going to do some big stuff this year for WoW. And they've hinted at BlizzCon. They've talked about it for Overwatch, for a bunch of their esports stuff. However, that was before they laid off 800 people. So
they made comments about the WoW stuff after the fact. I remember seeing that after the fact, anyway.
Like, this past week?
I think so. Can't remember now.
Like, people who were heavily involved in BlizzCon are some of the people who were laid off.
Yeah, which...
Like, one of the people who runs the Blizzard store was laid off. One of the people who runs the pet trading thing was laid off. People who play pretty big roles in BlizzCon were laid off.
Yeah.
And even if we do see a BlizzCon, we're going to see a very different BlizzCon than last year. Even aside from what is announced, they can reduce by one stage. They don't need to have as big of a floor space. Because without the Heroes Esports stage, they can reduce their floor plan. Because as I recall, that was all on one, like, Heroes had its own stage this year, right? The Heroes, the Halby was Heroes of the Storms tournament stage.
Yeah, you're right.
So without having Heroes, that means they can move the StarCraft tournament over to Hall B. They can perhaps remove the Overwatch arena or move stuff that was in North Hall back over to Hall A. They can reduce their footprint.
Yeah. I think it is going to be different. I don't know how it's going to be different outside of what you've mentioned. But I think it's going to be so weird. I didn't realize that some BlizzCon people had been laid off.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, those people are people who also had other roles, and those roles for BlizzCon can be assigned to other people.
Yeah.
However, we've seen how frantic people are at Blizzard in the days and weeks before BlizzCon. They now have less people to help them with BlizzCon.
Yep.
Throughout the entire year, they have less people to help them with the workload they have, and that workload is not going to change. So I'm very curious to see whether or not we're going to see some really stressed out people trying to run BlizzCon, and things are going to fall through the cracks. I can't see this decision not affecting BlizzCon in significant ways. I wanted to kind of read over some tweets that Chris Metzen put out, because he makes some very good points, and there's some other stuff I do want to talk about around this as well. Metzen tweeted, "While I don't represent Blizzard anymore, I want to say that despite how hard this week was, the folks still there are some of the most dedicated and passionate developers in the world. They give their all daily for you guys. Yes, the Blizzard end of things, the business end of things can be tough sometimes, but that's every company. Blizzard's not done or over or on fire. Rough patch, maybe. But the people there are brilliant and working hard every day. Support them. Encourage them where you can. Flailing about the apocalypse doesn't help. Positivity and faith in the long run actually do help. A community that doesn't support each other won't last. Be positive for each other. Be constructive. Anger just breeds anger. I think Yoda said that once. The vast majority of people there that build and support products can't/don't control the top end of the business. Claiming that it's all on fire and dead does a huge disservice to the people that are there doing their best. And I understand the message of Chris is trying to give. However, I am a firm believer in speaking with your money, speaking with your wallet to send messages to companies about their decisions. So, do I think Blizzard's dead? No. Blizzard is not dead. Blizzard is very badly wounded, though. Both in the body of the company, as well as its reputation with its players. Because they got rid of people who are the communication to the players. They got rid of Caden, who is one of the most visible community managers on the WoW team. They got rid of Overwatch and Hearthstone CMs that are visible members of their communities. People who are the person who would sit there and listen and acknowledge your complaints and make sure that those got to the developers. Now, I don't doubt that Lore also speaks to the developers and also takes in criticisms and issues and passes along to developers. But I don't know who on the WoW team is going to be that visible person to the WoW community for the WoW community. I don't know who is going to be the person who is going to say, go on the forums from home to read stuff over to pass on to the devs in the morning, as Caden tweeted out that he did on a regular basis. I don't know who the people are who, content creators and people who are repping the community, like myself, like Ro, like other podcasters, like Ali, can go to get answers, to pass along feedback, to coordinate with when needed. When other CMs have left the company, there was email sent out to content creators saying, oh, hey, that person's no longer here, but I'm here and I can help you out. Now, irrespective of whether those promises were ever kept, and I'm not going to go into that, it is important to have had that communication, that contact with the Blizzard developers. Don't have that now, and that's a concern. So, I'm not going to call Blizzard dead. I don't think they're dead. I think that the people who are on the business side have made very bad choices, ignoring the fact that Blizzard fans are very observant of what happens with their favorite gaming company, and the visual of, we had record profits, but we're laying off our staff. 800 of our staff, almost 10% of our staff, are gone. The visual of that is not a good thing for Blizzard. Now, for me, I can just say, oh, I'm not going to buy any Activision products. I'll still buy Blizzard products. I'll support my Blizzard games, but I'm not going to support Activision. But there's one problem. I never did. I don't buy Call of Duty. I don't play Candy Crush. I never played Destiny. They gave it to us free at BlizzCon. I've never touched it. I don't think I've installed. So, what impact does that have? I'm going from $0 to $0. It's a difficult position that players are in that they need to get the message to the people who make decisions so that those people know they made a mistake.
And here's where the problem is. I mean, one way, as you put it, as you said earlier, to try attempt to send that message is, you know, not give them any more money. The problem is, if you were to choose to boycott their products in response to this, in response to this specific event,
mm-hmm.
that's only going to make the problems worse because they're going to see less money,
and then they're going to lay off my people,
and they lay off more people. I mean, there are appropriate times where there are times where it's appropriate to boycott in response to an event. I don't believe that this is one of them, because it's going to exasperate the... I can't speak right now. It's going to make the problem worse. Exacerbate? Yeah, exacerbate the problem. One thing that I've seen floating around is the desire for these gaming company employees to unionize. I don't know that it would have solved this particular problem or would have prevented it, but it certainly would have protected some of them, some of the people, in terms of what kind of help they got on their way out the door. From what I understand, this is just based off of me watching Tyson and Evitel's video earlier today, was that the full-time staff got a better severance package. Well, I mean, and when I say it that way, it makes sense, but it doesn't stop the fact that the people who were not permanent staff or whatever were not helped out as effectively.
Yeah, anybody who's a contractor basically bent over and took it. For no better way of putting it than that.
Yeah.
Alex, who you mentioned earlier, relocated at significant expense to herself and has not been there very long and got 2 weeks severance, and that's about it.
Yeah.
So, great. I understand that some decisions you made, but when you state that all of the employees being affected are getting more pay than they are required to be given and going to get help, and then one of your most visible employees who did videos for product releases in front of ahead of 2 or 3 BlizzCons in a row basically tweets out and points out that you're full of it, that doesn't look good.
Nope.
They gave... As far as I understand, they gave Alex basically what they had to give her. And they didn't cover relocation costs. Otherwise, Alex wouldn't have had to go through savings. I don't know what benefits, but Alex has basically been frantic trying to find new work and has some good leads, which I'm very happy for. But that's not good. Like, when you say that you're giving your employees good severance packages, keep your promises, man. Just keep your promises. Like, it's not hard. It's not that hard to actually do what you say you're doing. But when you say you're doing something, and then people figure out you're not actually doing what you say you're doing, it looks really, really bad. And when I saw this message from Jalen Brack, and then saw some of the tweets from Alex and other people who were not permanent employees, who did not get much in severance at all, basically, it leaves me feeling like Blizzard was just trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. Now, this may be nitpicking, but there's a real easy way to avoid this problem. Super easy. Like, there's no easier way to avoid this problem than just do what you say you're doing. Yes, you give a couple months severance to people who haven't been there very long. But they moved out there on the promise of a job, and if you didn't know that this was coming, then you need lessons in business. If you knew it was coming and still hired a person, had them move across the country at their own expense, just to lay them off a few weeks after they arrived, well, then I have some words to say that I can't say on my show. But they're there. They're in my head. And I'm pretty sure you can figure those out. Don't hire people if you can't keep them employed. Simple. If you bring people into your company and they relocate, you should at least give them some modicum of respect, some level of understanding of what they went through to come work for you, and give them a fair shake if you have to let them go. It's easy. You made a crap load of money. You have lots of money. So what if your dividend is only 8% higher instead of 9% because you had to give a bit more back to your employees that had to be let go right after they started? It's not hard, Blizzard. It's not hard, Activision, to treat your employees with respect. Not just say you're going to, but actually do it. Actually give your employees the respect they deserve. Alex used to work for Blizzard. This is a returning employee, and I don't think she got a $15 million signing bonus to come back to the company. But your CFO did to change titles. $15 million goes a long, long way to treating your employees better. And I'm all for capitalism, but it should not come at the expense of your employees being treated properly. And that's the problem I see with this decision, with this announcement. You didn't even have the basic respect for your employees to treat them well. I'm sure those people were heartbroken to lose their jobs, but being given the respect on the way out to get a decent amount of pay so that they don't basically have to go from packing up their desk to pounding the pavement within hours of each other to try and find another job so that they are not broke. It's not hard. These employees didn't do anything wrong. They did not earn this. Back when we first mentioned the Kotaku articles that were being written, the first one being written about the financial side taking over, a lot of people were mentioning that Blizzard has principles. They have stated principles of, we will do this, we will not do this. As those news pieces have come out, it's looked less and less like Blizzard is actually following those principles. And how they've treated some of their employees, some of the biggest fans of their games, in this decision, costs respect of their fans. So, while I agree with Chris, support those who are still there. And I will. I will absolutely support everybody I know who still works at Blizzard. I will not have respect for those who take massive bonuses, massive rewards, while screwing over their employees. I do not have respect for Bobby Kotick. Any small sliver of respect I had for him was gone on Tuesday. Any respect I have for Activision as a company is gone. I love Blizzard, but that that Penny Arcade cartoon toasty that we saw, that felt real in so many ways this week.
Oh, yeah.
And I tweeted out, I don't know how I do this show tonight while being controlled enough. And hard as it is to believe, this is controlled for me. I'm sure Frasley remembers back in my day on WoW Radio where I ranted more than once about Blizzard's decisions in very vocal ways. Hey, I've matured. I've grown up a little bit. Now I'm just expressing in a very respectful but honest way that I think they've made a lot of mistakes this week. And they can do so much more for their employees than they have. Before we wrap this up, I want to read off some of the tweets that Caden put out on Wednesday of this past week. After he'd had a chance to process a little bit of what was going on. And basically he said that reality is he got laid off. He feels that it's not something anybody wanted, regardless of the studio or executive. I don't know that I agree with him there. I believe Bobby Kotick wanted to lay people off. Maybe not specifically him. It wasn't a targeted thing. But there is precedence in the gaming community of people who have sacrificed themselves and their economic security to save the jobs of others. That was not done here. So Bobby Kotick and Jalen Brack did not do their level best for their employees to save their jobs. He did point out in his next tweet that we should be nicer to Devilor. Josh is a nice guy. He does care about the community. And he should be given a break. And I do know the community does not give him a lot of breaks. They're pretty harsh sometimes. He did point out that the WoW team did not have a say in who was released and what was happening. So don't blame Ian or other people in the WoW team for that the decisions that were made. He went on to say that he had pride in being able to work with all the content creators for World of Warcraft. And if he's listening to this podcast, I will simply say, mad respect for you, man. It was great work with you for the short time that we could. He did say that he understands people are upset and asked that we make our voices heard in productive ways, in ways that we can make changes without hurting the current and remaining employees. And he asked us to consider those who are still there and those others who are lost in this layoff, because they all need help too. So, do your best to make your voice heard, guys. Do your best to constructively and in positive ways make sure that Activision Blizzard knows how you feel about these layoffs and these decisions. Because we all need to make sure that they are aware of our feelings on this one. And that's all I feel is okay for me to say today. But a lot of great people have lost their jobs. And a lot of people are very hurt by losing people they consider to be family. So, yeah, that's about it for me on that one. Anything else from you, Toasty?
I think I've pretty much said what I feel like I need to say about this. I mean, it sucks, and, you know, good thoughts and all that other stuff to everybody who is affected by this, and I hope you land on your feet. Yeah. On Valentine's Day, Caden was like the number one WoW streamer on Twitch. That was cool to see.
That is awesome.
And I think he's got like 700 subs on his Twitch channel now.
Cool.
So yeah. Nice to see people continuing to support these people.
Absolutely. And I hope that Activision Blizzard is listening. That's all I can say. Let's talk about some other stuff, shall we?
Yeah, let's move on to other stuff. You know, despite all this, other stuff did happen as well. Obviously, we've got the 815 PTR that's continuing to see updates. And there are some interesting things that we're seeing there. First off, there's a new wolf mount and a new horse mount. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, yay, the Alliance gets another horse mount. What if I told you that the horse wasn't for the Alliance? What if I told you?
I tell you that you're lying to me. Blizzard would never give anybody else but the Alliance the horses.
But it has Horde armor on it.
Maybe they will change the textures at the last second.
What if I also told you that the wolf mount was not for the Horde?
Wow. Who else is going to ride a horse but the Horde? Or a wolf, I should say.
The Alliance. It has Alliance armor on it.
That's just crazy talk.
Well, it's not crazy talk.
That's going to tell me there's cats and dogs sleeping together.
Well, actually, I had a cat and dog that shared a bed when I was younger.
Okay, now my mind's blown. I can't do this anymore.
So, yeah, there are two new mounts in the PTR. One for the Alliance, one for the Horde. And it's wolf. It's like trading mounts.
Sort of like trading spaces except for mounts. All right, gotcha.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, I remember when I first started playing WoW. Like, oh man, I would love a... I wanted to do a wolf mount. I wanted a wolf mount because the idea of having a wolf for a mount was just so much cooler. But then I switched to Alliance and I never got it again until Warlords, where I got all the wolf mounts. And now it's not that big a deal to me. But hey, another wolf mount for the Alliance. And the Horde gets some horses that are alive. So that's cool. Because, you know, the Horde were definitely clamoring for horse mounts. Right, Horde players? That's what you really wanted, isn't it? But the horse is dead inside. Yeah, probably, Frasley. I would not argue with that. We also saw some other fantastic stuff for the various allied races. So, on the PTR, we're seeing both the dances and the flirts for both the Kul'tirans and the Zandalari. The Kul'tiran one, I don't understand the reference for the male dance. It's apparently something called Mr. Thick Boy, which I've never seen that before. I googled it to find out what it was. Like, oh yeah, that is definitely the Mr. Thick Boy dance, based on, you know, my one viewing of that video. The female Kul'tiran does like ballet.
I don't know dances at all, so I wouldn't have any clue.
I mean, the ballet thing was pretty obvious, to be fair.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to dancing at all, so.
Zandalaria ones, I also don't understand the references there, but they look cool. Oh god, Frasley, stop spamming Mr. Thick Man. Oh no.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry, I'm just deleting those, sorry. Because I don't want to look at those pictures.
Well, I'll leave one.
Nope, I do not want to look at those pictures. The previews, just nope. Sorry. Please feel free to repost those in adult. I don't care about that. I just don't want to see those in my main feed. Sorry.
Okay, you can put that in memes too. That's fine. One of the other things that we're seeing pop up in the PTR are different like shrines to various Loas throughout Zuldazar. Now that's may not seem like a big thing. Like, oh yeah, like Loa shrines in Zuldazar. That makes sense because the Zandalari are there and all that other good stuff. But these actually are specifically in there for the allied races because one of the Zandalari racial abilities is Call to the Loa, something like that. Embrace the Loa, sorry, where they can get different buffs depending on which Loa they're worshipping. So there are six different shrines. There's one for Kragwa, Kimbal, Buonsamni, Paku, Gonk, and Akunda. They all provide different things. Kragwa gives you, right now anyway, the buff where if you take damage, there's a chance a certain percentage of armor. Or a certain amount of armor. Kimbal, your damaging abilities have a chance to cause a target to have a bleed for certain percentage of damage over 6 seconds, which can stack. Buonsamni, your damaging abilities have a chance to deal X amount of shadow damage. Paku is just you have a chance of getting a 5% critical strike for X amount of time. Gonk is an increased movement speed. Anaconda is a chance for another small heal to be thrown onto your target. So very much catering to, you know, the usual buffs or whatever that you would normally seek to get. I don't see anything that gives me haste here, though, so I immediately lose interest. Also because it's a horde thing, I don't care. But for you aspiring Zendalari trolls, that's what you can look forward to getting as one of your racial buffs.
I would never remember to keep it going, so I would just, yeah, never, no.
I mean, I imagine that once you do it, you just always have it.
Okay.
One thing to note, though, is if you're one of those people who's looking to min-max this, you can only change it every 5 days. So be real sure about what you're picking before you select that.
I don't even remember to go back and reforge my weapons on my DK all the time, like the rune forging. Every time I get a new weapon, I never remember to go do the rune forging for it, so I would never... If it ever fell off for any reason, I would just completely forget to do it.
Oh man, and I like obsessively went back. Even if the weapon wasn't a huge upgrade, I'm just like, okay, well, I'm obviously going to equip this, and that means I have to go back and do it.
I did, for the most part, through most of Wrath. But after that, I just didn't bother.
I mean, that was effectively your weapon enchant. You were losing out on a decent amount of...
Yes.
That's fine.
Yeah, I didn't really have the patience to it. To do it, that's all.
That's fair. One other update we're seeing is an update to the Darkmoon Fair. There is a new attraction coming to the Darkmoon Fair in the form of a roller coaster. It costs a single Darkmoon ride ticket, and riding it will give you the buff Wii, which, like, I don't know what it actually does, if anything.
But that's the XP and rep buff.
What's that? Is that the reputation buff?
Yeah, it's the same as the carousel gives you.
See, that's what happens when you pay attention to what the name of the buff is. I just call it experience buff and walk away. It's actually pretty cool the way they've implemented that, because you're getting a first-person view of the roller coaster and all that other stuff. Looking at some of these views, it's like, how is a Tauren gonna effectively ride some of these? Because some of those tracks are pretty close together vertically. The image I'm talking of in particular, I'm going to put in our general chat. But like, yeah, that's how will a Tauren or a Draenei or a Zendalari troll, who are also very tall, effectively ride that. That's one thing that we're learning with the introduction of Zendalari trolls. The trolls are actually pretty tall if they decide to stand upright. Yeah.
I think Frazzy's got the answer there. Just go duck. You learn eventually. Hit your head enough stuff, you'll learn.
You've ducked on roller coasters, Frazzy? What was it, like 2 feet tall?
I think he means in real life.
No, he doesn't. In fact, that's not possible at all. In addition to all this other stuff, there's a bunch of spoilerific stuff that obviously we're not going to go into great detail about. But if you're so interested in the spoiler stuff, Wildhand and MMO Champion have our fantastic resources for that. Included in that is a bunch of different cinematics that I know some groups of people will be very interested in, especially considering the way we closed out Legion. I'll just leave it at that, Hunters. And there's also the intro cinematic for the Kul'tirans that was introduced, which is, you know, it's just a little video that plays as an intro before it zooms in on your character eventually. There's a little background there. No music on it, unfortunately. But there's a bunch of new music for the Zendalari trolls and the Kul'tirans. Kul'tiran music is interesting.
So here's the thing I have always wondered. Jaina Proudmoore is a Kul'tiran.
Correct.
She is not thick like the Kul'tirans.
Correct.
Why?
It should also be noted that not all Kul'tirans are thick. They're definitely like obscenely skinny models of Kul'tirans.
So you can create a skinny Kul'tiran female, perhaps.
You cannot. So looking at all the models throughout Kul'Thras, there are humans of varying shapes and sizes.
So then logically you would say that those are not Kul'Thirans, but more humans of the Stormwind variety that are on Kul'Thras.
No, but some of them are obscenely skinny, and those are not available. Those models are not used anywhere else. It just so happens that the playable Kul'Thirans are of the thick variety. Thick with like 3 C's. Yeah. Maybe 4.
Yeah. Alright, just seems kinda weird to me. That's all.
Humans come in all shapes and sizes, man.
Yes, then why can't I make one of all shapes and sizes?
Limitations of the game.
Well, that sounds like a Blizzard problem, not a Medras problem.
Yeah, but it's a problem they do not wish to solve at this point.
So it would seem. All right, let's talk about our last topic, I guess. Or is there more from the PTRs?
Yeah, the Crucible of Storms raid. We've got a whole bunch of different models from there, including loot models and all that other stuff, including some interesting animations, which may or may not be void themed. A lot of void stuff going on in Crucible of Storms. Go figure. It's almost as if the old god stuff is coming in. The old god stuff that, you know, definitely wasn't going to happen from the beginning.
Totally.
It was definitely always about Alliance versus Horde.
Absolutely.
Anyway, void stuff. Yeah. As usual, MMO Champion and WoWhead have a bunch of other stuff there, if you are so inclined.
Absolutely. Alright. So, over on WoWhead, they have a post about some work done by a Reddit user named Dagoth Hurtle. And he's been basically working to improve the quality of cinematics from old games using neural networks. I'll be honest, I don't understand a lot of what he's doing, but basically he has the original and compares it with the improved version of the two that he's done so far, which is the End of the Human Campaign and the Undead Campaign finale from... the first one was from Reign of Chaos, Warcraft 3, and the second is from The Frozen Throne. Basically where Arthas commits patricide and then Arthas becomes Lich King. I watched the comparison of these two videos, and there's definitely visual improvements. However, I do kind of feel like there's not as much improvement as I would have liked. Like, there's still some areas where it looks really blurry when that area should be in focus. But it's absolutely an improvement over what was originally done, and I'm very curious to see what the redone models or versions of these cinematics is going to be with the Reforged edition of Warcraft 3. Did you have a chance to watch these?
Oh yeah, well I saw the Frozen Throne one when it was first posted on Reddit, and I was kind of blown away by how good it looked in comparison. I mean, obviously there's going to be a difference in definition. The movement seemed a lot smoother, and a lot of the visuals seemed a bit more crisp. I mean, yeah, there were some places where things were still a little out of focus and blurry, but for the most part, I mean, it looks great. I have the Lord on Throne Room cinematic playing right now, and just looking at the comparison video, the newer one is definitely a lot smoother, and words are hard, and it's not a lot of improvement, but it's very obvious which one is the remastered one.
Absolutely, yes. The visuals, the lines are much crisper in the remastered one, and you can see stitching where before it was just a blurry. Like, basically it's vanilla gear versus a similar item currently in game for yeah. BFA. So very much a visual improvement, definitely very clear improvement. You can see it very, very clearly. However, yeah, like, and even the artist does, like, this create this user does point out, like, this is just a version one, like, there's lots of improvements yet to be done. It just, I did notice there were some issues. I look forward to seeing some further work being done on this to make it even better. And then I want to see this person's final version versus the remastered one, or the reforged one from Warcraft 3 Reforged.
I'm looking forward to seeing him redo the Thrall Grom scene with Manoroth.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It's so good. Especially because there's so much movement in there. And it'd be interesting to see how he tackles that and how it ends up looking.
Yeah, for sure. But yes, two user Dagoth Hurtle, well done. You did real good. Look forward to seeing what you come up with next and further refinements of the process. All right. I think that's about it for the news. So let's talk about our second sponsor.
All right. So our second sponsor, as usual, are the great folks over at Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Now over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Today we're going to dig into one of the Audible series that was recently put out, and this is Sufficiently Advanced Magic. Let's have a listen.
The door vanished behind me, of course. I pondered the significance of the door's color for a moment. Was the golden gem just representing a more challenging version of the same style of room? Or maybe these colors had some sort of cultural significance? The room could represent the tyrant in gold, for example. If it did, I was probably in a great deal of trouble. I carefully inspected the floor before I made my way forward. The square-shaped grid wasn't present here, and I didn't see any runes or indentations. There were, however, four small grates in the corners of the room. They looked inert for now, but I didn't like the look of them. The Valor board was the most obvious set piece for a puzzle. I ignored it and headed straight toward the three doors in the back of the room, green, gold, and orange, just like the last room. I didn't know how many rooms I'd have to complete in total, but I did plan to stick with gold unless I saw a good reason to switch, especially if I could skip the puzzle entirely. I moved my hand toward the golden gem, but pulled it back at the last second. There was a keyhole above the gem. I frowned and checked the other doors. They were all set up in the same way. Okay, I could deal with that, maybe. I had a key, but I didn't know if it would fit.
So once again, that was Sufficiently Advanced Magic, written by Andrew Rowe, narrated by Nick Podell, and that's book one of the Arcane Ascension series. You can find that and over 200,000 titles over at bit.ly/ATABooks2019, and we thank Audible for sponsoring the show.
Yeah, Nick's a really good narrator. He narrates a few of the series that I've read, and I really enjoy his narration. He's really good. All right, so time for our question of the week. Our question of the week, which is actually not here for some reason, from last week was, how do you feel about the rare holiday drop rewards being restricted to characters at the current content level, which is, say, 110 plus? WookieBH says, I have my Headless Horseman's mount, and that's all I cared about, so as someone who isn't farming the holiday bosses, I'm fine with this. Gillen says... Sorry?
Makes sense.
Yeah. Gillen says, I'm not really too fussed. What I do question is, should these rewards be so rare that people feel they needed all the lower characters in the past to stand a chance? Lady_Emma says, I wish it could drop on anything they can learn it, 20 and up, but have it a lower chance on the lower levels. And Frasley says, I do not like it. I get it as its precedent, but if you can keep it at level 20, why not just drop it? I promise, not bitter, but no love rocket. Wink.
Bandev says, sounds kind of lame. I used to run the holiday bosses on every tune of mine every day for a chance at the Love Rocket or whatever holiday event there was at the time. To each their own. If you can afford the time to run all that stuff, why should the game limit your opportunities? And then he updated his answer after reading the news article. He says, I just read the news article and it used to be limited to 98. Maybe that's not so bad after all. I guess I was confusing the rare rewards and just plain being able to queue for it. And I think that was my confusion too. Jonah says, I can see the issue. Players could just make a demon hunter and start mount farming holiday mounts with minimal effort. That said, I don't mount farm myself, so I can't really say if this is a good or a bad change. On one hand, making 10 demon hunters to farm mounts was probably a nice possibility for some people without a lot of time, but on the other hand, does that cheapen the mount in question? If it's as easy as rolling 15 demon hunters on a server you don't play on just to mount farm.
I will point out you can't do that. You're currently limited to 1 DH per server, but you have 50 characters you can create on your account, so you could technically create like 40 of them across many different servers and farm each one on each one daily. But that's a lot of work.
That's what he said at the end there.
On a server. I'm just pointing out you can't do it on one single server.
Oh, on a server you don't... Oh, yeah, I see what you... Okay, yeah. All right.
It's a semantics thing more than anything, I think. But yeah.
Yeah. All right, so the question of the week for next week is, what traditionally faction luck mounts would you like to see swap next? Mechanical Striders. Just because I think it would be hilarious.
I want to see Drenai and Tauren swap mounts. So I want Kodos on Drenai and Elix on Tauren.
But Mechanical Striders. Imagine a Tauren on a Mechanical Strider. That would be hilarious and you know it.
Yes. I would also like, I don't know, like faction mounts, like class, like race mounts. We already have the Ram, and really the Kodo is available for every race via the Brewfest Kodo and the Brewfest Ram. So those are already kind of swapped.
But I think the way I picture this question is, what traditionally faction locked mount would you like to see swapped and like have the regalia specific to their new new faction.
Okay, but so yours is Mechanistrider. What's the horde mount coming to the Alliance?
The goblin one.
What is the goblin mount?
I believe it's a vehicle.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a trike. It's a goblin trike.
All right, makes sense.
So yeah, I want to see a goblin trike with Alliance regalia all over it, and I want to see a Mechanistrider with horde stuff, just because I think it's hilarious. Anyway, I'm looking forward to hearing everybody else's answers.
Yeah, and we'll get Allie's answer next week. Alright, so time for shoutouts. I'm going to go first, steal the big one here, and say shout out to all the people who used to work at Blizzard until Tuesday. And to all the people who still work at Blizzard, but have a lot more work to do. Mad respects to you guys, and I hope your jobs aren't too hard going forward.
I will echo that shout out, obviously, because, yeah, I hope that everybody lands on their feet, and hope that everybody that's left is able to continue doing the great work that they've been doing. I'm also going to do my usual hockey shout out. Shout out to the St. Louis Blues. They've won 10 in a row. They're now 15th in the league. And I believe they are third in the Central. Yep, they are third in the Central behind Nashville and Winnipeg. So now my nightmare scenario of the Jets and the Blues playing in the first round of the playoffs isn't going to happen if they keep up at this pace. I believe as of right now, the Blues are playing the Preds, which is like not great either because the Preds are scary. But, you know, whatever. At least it's not Blues Jets in the first round.
I think our one of our co-hosts is not so happy about your Blues.
Yeah, you'd be right. You'd be absolutely right. They have not had a good run lately.
No, they haven't.
I think they're winning right now, though. But yep, they're winning right now. It's fine.
That's good. Just over the night, heading to bed.
Yeah. Go Blues. Until the playoffs, at which point I will be supporting the local team.
The Winnipeg Jets.
I'll be supporting the local team.
Will you or will you not support the Winnipeg Jets in the playoffs?
I will be supporting the local team.
That is not an answer to my question.
Yes, it is.
Will you support the Winnipeg Jets in the playoffs?
I'll be supporting the local team.
Local to where?
The local team.
Local to where? Your home?
That depends on perspective, really.
Exactly. What team by name of the team are you going to support in the playoffs?
Anyway, so that's our show.
Fine. Let's do an outro then.
If you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-ATA-WOW5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show at allthingsazeroth.com. And if you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can find the show over on Twitter at allthingsaz, Medros is at Medros, Fandeth is at Fandeth, Ali is at Aliandrus K, I'm at Toasty Posty Ken, and you can find the network over at Dawnforge. And you can join our new Battle.net group at bit.ly/bnetata. And please check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Hooniverse.
And we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of the 800.
This podcast brought to you by Dawnforge Productions, copyright 2019. Get more at thedawnforge.com.